Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly, destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord, Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Well, did you wake up this morning thinking today might be the last day of this earth's existence? How many of you did? How about yesterday? How about the day before? You realize there are some people, every day they wake up, they think in terms of this is going to be the last day. There are people who anticipate that and expect it. I don't either. I don't get up thinking this is going to be the last day. Could be. Could be the last day for me. Could be the last day for one of you. Could be the last day for the entire earth. But we don't live every day thinking about that. We don't live every day with the absolute fear of everything all of a sudden changing. We get up and we expect that there's going to be sunshine or clouds. There's going to be some food to eat, some warmth in the places where we live. We anticipate that things will kind of hold together and be normal. But there will be a day when it will be the last day. There'll be a day when the way it is here is going to come to an end. And as we get weary seeing some of the things that go on in the world around us and being rather unable to fix those things, it's okay to look forward to that day, to yearn for that time when all of what fights against God and his creation will be done away with. The Old Testament lesson even more clearly talks about the day of the Lord, and it talks about it here as well. What is the day of the Lord? Most people would probably say, well, the Lord's day, that's Sunday. That's the Lord's day, the day we set aside to worship our Lord and celebrate our salvation. Not so in the Bible. In the Bible, the day of the Lord is the day when he finally rights something that's wrong, puts something back the way it ought to be. And so the day of the Lord could be, first of all, the day that Adam and Eve sin against God and are cast out of the garden. Get out of here. And the garden is back to the way he made it, without those living in it who are going to fight against God. We have some real biggies in the Old Testament. The flood is the day of the Lord. The day when God says, I am going to stop the wickedness of human beings who are filthying up my planet. I'm going to remove them, and except for Noah and the ark and those who are in it, a kind of a little mini Garden of Eden to protect some even after the fall, the rest die under God's wrath. He doesn't say, do whatever you want and it's fine. He says, I made you to live a certain way on this earth, to take care of it, to be in community with others. And so in many ways, the question is, how come it's still so wicked so long afterwards? There was another day of the Lord that came when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And God said, I will not allow this wickedness where the ground itself cries up to me about what's wrong. I will not let that go on forever. Probably the biggest good news in the Old Testament is the story about Israel being delivered from Egypt at the time of Moses, about 1300 before Christ. That was the time when God stops Pharaoh and his host from destroying his own people, the people whom he had chosen to love and through whom he said there would be love to all nations. But then we go further, and it's hard for us to understand, but God says to his own people, go into the land, and I want you to be the ones who will destroy those who live there, those who do not run away in fear when I come and advance with you. Get rid of them. They are messing up my creation. And they are harming those whom I love, and I won't let them do it forever. But the tables turn, and by the time Israel has been in the land for a good long time, the day of the Lord is coming against them. They who were his chosen people turned away and left him and said, we want nothing to do with you, God. They, as an entire nation, decided they would act like everybody else and play by the world's rules instead of by the way God had set things in motion. Might makes right. Grab for what you can. Ally yourself with anyone who looks like they have power. Crush the weak. Take everything from them that you can, and don't give it a second thought. And God says to his own people, I'm not going to let that happen to those whom I love. Even if it's people who were my own chosen people who have turned against me. And thus, Samaria experiences the day of the Lord in 722 before Christ, and Jerusalem in 586 before Christ. But the day of the Lord had not reached its fulfillment yet, where God would fully deal with all of the wickedness and all the brokenness on this earth. And so, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, placed under the law to redeem us who are under the law, that we might be receiving adoption as sons and daughters. And so the day of the Lord, writ large, is Good Friday. When God takes the wickedness of every human being ever to live and treats his Son as if he's the one who has caused all the trouble. No wonder our Lord cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And sees himself on the outside of that relationship for you and me. So we don't have to be under that cloud, under that condemnation, under God's wrath, so that we can believe by faith that he took God's just wrath against us and put it on himself because he wants us to live with him forever. And thus Paul says, as we live, live in the daylight. We've come through the darkness of sin and rebellion against God. We've come beyond letting the world decide for us what is right and what is proper and what is desirable. And instead, to love each other by the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has given to all of us. To look at each other not according to what we've done to each other, but according to what Christ has done to all of us. Because the day of the Lord is not only a day of punishment of the wicked, it's a day of restoration from oppression for the righteous. The day of the Lord actually happened for us the day we were baptized. We're going to be talking about baptism in our adult study this morning. The day when God gave us the benefits of our Lord's death and resurrection. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death. We have been brought to new life. And so we're living out our eternity even now. Will the day come when the Lord is going to finally call it quits here? Yes. He says he'll be back, and he will destroy everything that's against him and recreate the heavens and the earth. And so, he says, in the meantime, don't just sit and wait and bury your talent and do nothing. Eagerly look for ways to be involved in the lives of other people, to reach out to them, to encourage them, to help them hear what in their life is still part of the darkness, driven to do a lot of things, but things that matter very little or that are very selfish and self-centered, and instead to help us to encourage each other, to build each other up. You might notice, I don't know how many times it is, probably 9 or 10 different places in the Scriptures in the New Testament where Paul talks about faith and hope and love. Here he talks about the fact that we're clothed in the faith, in the trust that God himself really has made us his own, and that we really have been delivered from his wrath and from the things that would just turn us in on ourselves. And so he says we have the breastplate, the shield of faith and love, rather than that we are to attack and hurt others. That will keep us from being destroyed. And the helmet of hope. We have a hope that there will be that day when he will make everything right. So when we live our lives, we don't need to live them worrying every day, oh, it might be the last day, what's going to happen? It might be the last day for my computer. Maybe the last day for my tires. It may be the last day for that can of corn being full. But the final last day, that's in his hands. We will not get ready for it by saying, I'll see how much wrong I can do and kind of watch for when it happens. Then it'll be too late. But we who are settled in Christ can know that caring for each other, loving each other, reaching out to each other, not letting others wander away, but continually being involved in knowing what's going on in their lives, just keeping contact with people is part of the way in which God helps us to love and care for each other and keep each other close on this earth until the time comes when he does come suddenly and bring us all into his presence forever, to praise and honor him, to worship him, and to continue to love each other in all eternity as people who have been chosen and selected by him. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.